We are what is called a happy family. And now we're splitting up. Rosie is going to live in London. So is William. Which leaves just me and Father. What a deliciously, gorgeously stimulating prospect. How exciting and fulfilling are the years stretching ahead of me. Washing the skid marks out of an old man's underpants. Listening to his interminable, gripingly boring stories about his days in India. Taking the pipe out of his mouth when he falls asleep and showers the front of his cardigan with burning sparks. Cutting his toenails, shaving him, bathing him, cleaning his spectacles so he can read the obituaries in the Daily Telegraph. I've failed them. I've failed myself. All these years, my only talent in life has been keeping the family together. And now it's cracking up. And I've failed.
Hello there, Rosie. What do you reckon?
Not a lot.
Oh, my word, he's a fine day today, without a doubt. He's a real cracker of a day, look.
Winston.
Yes, Rosie?
Are you sure I'm doing the right thing moving to London?
Of course I am, Rosie. Not getting cold feet, are you?
No.
Then why do you ask? Why do you inquire, look?
Oh, it's Nancy.
What about Nancy?
It's her face. It's the look in her eyes. Pain, sadness, accusation. I'm leaving. I'm destroying the family. I can't bear it, Winston. It's ripping me apart. I lie awake all night, and I know I'm ruining her life.
No, you weren't, Rosie. That you had to be sure. Remember what I told you in the pub with them ornamental herons and the tropical birds?
Yes.
Well, always keep that right in the forefront of your mind. Keep repeating it. Winston loves Rosie, but Nancy loves Winston. Winston don't want Rosie to go, but if she stays, she'll destroy Nancy's love for Winston. And then what would Nancy do, Rosie? And what would her life be then without old Winston to pamper and to cosset her and cuddle her tight and warm beneath the old beech tree in the wood at the back of his house?
I can see them in the garden, Winston and Rosie. I look at them, see their closeness and their warmth. And I sometimes think that there might be just a teeny weeny bit between them. It's preposterous, of course. What could a beautiful, talented young woman like Rosie possibly see in a fat, beer-swilling, belching, blunt-thumbed, coarse, vulgar yob of a village poacher? How could he possibly imagine that she would ever fall for him? No, he'd never dare set his sights so high. It would never occur to him. And me? Me? He tells me he loves me. And that's preposterous, too. I'm a mature woman. I'm an educated woman. At private school, too, on the South Coast, and I'm still beautiful. I don't sag. Well, nowhere you'd notice, nowhere you can see. My back's straight, my bosom's firm. I've still got all my own teeth. What do I want with a leering, drink-sodden lout with his long, greasy hair and his tattoos over his nipples and his dirty, slimy teeth and his... Winston... Oh, Winston, what are you doing to us?
Winston? Winston?
I'm here in the utility room, William.
Ah, there you are. Not disturbing, have I?
No, I'm just ironing a set of Nancy's knickers.
Good. Good. Do you like Annie, Winston?
That's not bad. What I like most about it is the constant spitting on the bottom of the iron.
Do you think I'd be able to do it? I mean, when I go to London, I'll have to fend for myself as regards to the domestic chores, won't I?
Oh, yes, William, that you will, without a doubt.
Yes, that's what bothers me, you see, Winston. If I've got all the domestic chores to do, how on earth will I find time to finish my book on the light railways of County Antrim?
But you ain't going to London to write books about railways, William. You're going to London to have wild and wicked adventures and write books about birds with big bristles, like.
Yes, I know, but if I'm ironing and washing all day, how will I ever meet these birds with big... Big, you know what.
Simple, William. You lives with Rosie.
She won't have me.
What?
She refuses point blank to let me live with her.
Hold on a moment, William. Do you mind getting out of my light while I deal with this frilly bit on the end of the right leg?
Certainly. Is that better?
Yeah, perfect, my old wingsy bat. Now then, you were saying...
I was saying that Rosie won't let me live with her. She says she's adamant. She says she wants her independence. She said I'd be under her feet all day, twittering and fussing. She says she'd have to look after me just like Nancy does. Well, she won't, Winston. She won't. I'm perfectly capable of standing on my own 2 feet. Why does everyone think I'm useless? I got 3 badges when I was in the Boy Scouts. I would have got a 4th, only I'm lost my way at the map-reading test. I bitterly resent all this ridicule heaped on me. I'm fed up with being bossed around by Nancy, being told when to change my shirts, when to start wearing vests in the autumn, when it's safe to go out without a raincoat. I am perfectly capable, Winston, of standing on my own 2 feet. And that's why it's essential that I live with Rosie in London.
I'll have a word with her, William. You leave it to old Winston. He'll work things out for you. He always does. Oh, yes, William, without a doubt.
I can't bear it. I can't bear hearing Rosie singing to herself as she packs up in her workroom. I can't bear the sight of the smug look on William's face and the spring in his step. I can't bear Father's shifty smirk and the clink of gin bottle in his jacket pocket as he plods off to his shed. And it's all the fault of Winston. Why don't I throw him out? I can't. Why don't I tell him he's the most disgusting, loathsome, contemptuous man I have ever met in the whole of my life? I can't. Why don't I tell him that the very sight of his body is repulsive to me? I can't. Why don't I tell him that the day we lay side by side under the beech tree was the most horrific and nauseating experience I have ever had to undergo, apart from having my tonsils taken out in Frinton? I can't. Why don't I tell him I don't love him, I don't want him, I hate him, I loathe his guts? I can't. And now there he is trotting down the garden with Father and they're heading for the shed. Oh, God, what's he hatching up now?
Come in, old boy. It's only me. Make yourself at home. Take a pew.
Not very much. Do you fancy a slug of my gin?
Oh, I say, how fearfully pleasant of you, but only if we do it in secret. I'm a secret drinker, you know. Don't tell anyone, will you?
I think they already knows.
Well, so long as they keep it secret, that's all right, isn't it? Right, thank you. Now, then, Winston, I've asked you here to my shed because I want to have a serious word with you.
Far away, I'm all ears.
Well, you remember my idea of jiggering off to India? Well, it was your idea, really, old boy, but since I've adopted it, I'd rather like to think that it was I who initiated it.
Quite right, so.
Well, then, Winston, I have to tell you in the strictest confidence that I have been to the bank, withdrawn all my savings and deposited them in the padlocked briefcase under the floorboards at the back of the shed.
Why, no, sir. I was with you when you done it, you silly old sod.
Oh, really, old boy?
Well, I drove you to the bank in my motor, my car. I waited outside while you collected your loot. I drove you back. It was me what prized up the floorboards and give the padlock for the briefcase lock.
Oh, splendid. Fearfully nice to have such good company.
Have another swig of gin.
Oh, thanks, Miss Olvin. Now then, Winston, I have now decided to take further action.
Oh, which is?
To put into operation plans for jiggering off to India.
Good, I'm pleased to hear that.
Now, what I want you to do, Winston, is to go to our local branch of Thomas Cook & Sons, Limited, and ask them if they have any idea of how a chap gets to India these days.
You goes by plane from Heathrow Airport.
Now we've hit the first snag. How does a chap get to Heathrow Airport?
I drives him there in my motor, my car, look.
Splendid, now we're getting somewhere. Now, for the next problem, when we get to Heathrow Airport, how do we know which will be the plane for India?
It will be wrote up on the front of an indicator board.
Oh, see. I didn't realise you were such a seasoned traveller.
Oh, yes, I've travelled all over the place. Look, I once went to Barnstaple on the back of Betty Hayball's tandem.
You sound just the sort of man I'm looking for. Why don't you come to India with me? As my travelling companion and luggage waller, Winston.
No, tar very much. I reckon I wouldn't think much to India.
Oh, why not? Little brown buggers there are most fearfully good at playing leg spin, you know.
Ah, well, that's as may be, but what about the grub, the nosh, see?
What about it?
Well, look, I once had one of them takeaway curries in a packet from the supermarket. Mm. Well, God love us, talk about Mount Vesuvius. I knows my geography back to front. I read all the gazetteers and atlases, look, but I tells you this, I couldn't sit on the back of Betty Hable's tandem in comfort for 3 solid weeks.
Oh, well. In that case, old boy, you're better off where you are. Now, you stay here. Don't be tempted, I beg you. Don't give in to high-sounding blandishments or the honeyed words of silver tongues.
I won't.
Good, good. I'm pleased to hear it. Well, then, I shall travel alone to India, and I shall inform my family of my decisions at dinner tonight.
Oh, God, another helicopter. They're coming out at night now. Why? There's no nude women in back gardens for them to ogle at.
Maybe they've got special night ogling equipment.
Don't be ridiculous, William. Get on with your dinner.
Sorry, Nessie.
I wonder if I could have your attention for a moment. I have an announcement to make.
Yes, Father, yes, we know all about that. You've dropped your napkin on the floor again. Yep, use mine and make sure it's properly tucked in.
Don't get that slot, the announcement I was going to tell you.
Main course coming up. Plays down for a full house.
Winston, it looks superb. What is it?
Shoulder of veal hongroise, which means it comes from Hungary, though the veal was freshly net from the abattoir this morning. Then, what you've got with it is a cucumber of Vichy, salade clémentine, caramelised new potatoes, and a couple of hefty dollops of the balancing of duck left over from last night. You get cracking, look. And it's quite all right with me if you scoops up the sauce with your knives.
Well, splendid. Well, then, everyone, I have an announcement to make.
We know, Father, we know. You want the salt here.
No, that's not the announcement I wish to make. It's far more important than that.
Yes, of course it is, Father. You want the pepper.
No, I do not. I want to tell you that I am going to India.
What?
Yes. I intend to travel to India and in the fullness of time settle down in a bungalow in the Assam Hills with a slim young lady with almond eyes, bangles round her ankles, and ginormous bristles. You're not to worry. I know how to get there. They have the destination written in capital letters on the front of the airplane.
I don't believe this. Will somebody please tell me that I'm hearing voices in my head?
You ain't, Nancy. What you heard is real and for true. Your father is going to India. That's right, isn't it?
It most certainly is, old bean. Now, everything has been worked out in the most meticulous detail. I shan't be taking the piano with me, but I shall be taking my dogs. Never underestimate the importance of dogs on these occasions. Now then, I intend to take the Bakelite wireless with the defective knobs and travel to India in easy stages. I shall stop off in Chippenham for 3 weeks, Salisbury for a month, Basingstoke for a fortnight, and London for a year in order to regroup.
And where will you stay in London, Father?
With Rosie.
Oh, no, you won't. I'm not having you getting your feet under my table. You'll be there for the duration.
Exactly. You'll spoil everything for us.
Us, will you?
Yes, you and me. Well, you and I, if you want to go all arty and bohemian.
Oh, no. Oh, no, William. Oh, no. You are not living with me.
Why not?
Because you're not.
Why?
Because I say so.
For heaven's sake, will you please be quiet? Shut up!
Thank you. Father?
Yes, Nancy.
Are you aware, totally aware, rationally aware of what you have just said?
Of course he isn't. He's been at the gin again.
No, I have not. Well, only in secret with Winston.
Ah, with Winston, eh? Winston?
Yes, Nancy?
You bastard. You bastard! You bastard!
And then I'll probably stay at Heathrow Airport for a couple of months to acclimatise myself.
I have this vision of myself. I'm an old lady, very weak and very frail, but I've still got all my faculties, and I'm living in an old people's home by the seaside. It's very well appointed. The staff is courteous and attentive. We each have our own room with colour television and fitted carpets and an ashtray. I'm rather happy. From the garden you can look out over the sea, and there are guillemots sitting on the breakwater, hanging out their wings to dry, and there are yachts with stiff, taut sails, and a rusty dredger clanking itself to sleep. I turn my head to the right, and I see a little grove. It's well cared for. There are miniature roses and bushes of thyme and hyssop, and in the middle are 3 black urns. One is written, Rosie, died of anger. On another is written, William died of bewilderment. And on the other is written, father, missing, presumed still alive. And then I turn my head back again to look out over the bay. The guillemots are gone. So have the dredger and the yachts. The sea is calm. It's very calm indeed. And then suddenly there's a ripple on its surface. Only a small ripple. But the herring gulls wheel away and yap with alarm. And the ripple grows bigger. And the waters churn. They hiss and spit and foam. A whirlpool is formed. It spins and roars, it spits out great vomits of fume, and then from its dead centre rises a figure, a man. He's naked. The water streams from his limbs, it cascades from him, it glistens on his flesh, and he raises his arms to the heavens, and a great towering grin comes to his face, and he bellows at the top of his voice. "Hello there, Nancy! What do you reckon? Not a lot!" It's quiet now. They're all sleeping. I'm not. I lie still in my bed, secure and silent. I don't move a muscle. Listen. The trees are sleeping. The voles are cowering in the meadows under the moon shadows of the hunting owls. The river soothes the resting salmon. And very quietly, I pull back the sheets from my bed. I tiptoe across the carpet to the door. I open it. I step outside onto the landing. I pause. I listen. The boiler for the hot water is crooning softly to himself from his hutch outside the kitchen door. I like that boiler. He's a friend. I can hear the faint rasp of the house spider's feet, the killer of the skirting boards. I like the house spider. He's a friend. I begin walking along the landing. Slowly, I stop outside a bedroom door. I open it. I step inside. Softly, I close the door behind me. I say, "Winston?"
What?
"Winston? Winston?"
Oh, it's you. Hello there, Nancy. What do you reckon?
Not a lot. I pull back the sheets and I slip into bed beside him. He's naked. He's not wearing pyjamas. It's disgusting. I take hold of him. How could I? It's disgusting. He grunts. He groans. How awful. I bend forward to kiss him. I can't help myself. And then suddenly I stop. I shout at the top of my voice, "You bastard! You bastard! You bastard!" I struggle. I fight. He rips away my hands. I scratch at his face. I claw at his chest. I bite at his neck. I kick. I pummel. And then I stop. We lie side by side, panting, the perspiration gurgling down our bodies. I say very quietly, very softly, "You bastard, Winston." And there's a pause, and he says,
"Mind if I has a fag, Nancy?"
And I say, "No, do as you like."
It's my first today. Or is it still yesterday?
Why are you doing this to me, Winston?
Doing what, Nancy?
You know.
I don't.
You do!
Shh! You'll wake the cobwebs up.
Why are you trying to destroy me?
I ain't trying to destroy you, Nancy. I'm doing all this for your own good, look.
My God!
Oh, yes, without a doubt. I'm getting rid of all your family so you and me can be together, Nancy, so we can lay in bed like this night after night, forever and ever, and sometimes in the afternoons if you so desire it.
Don't touch me there. Please.
I knows what you think, Nancy. You think old Winston is doing this just for his own personal cravings and desires. But that ain't true, Nancy.
Oh, yes. I want you right enough.
And you wants me too, look. But the others needs what I'm doing. They needs their independence, Nancy, Rosie, William, your old dad. They needs to get away and stand on their own 2 feet. They doesn't need all this cosseting and pampering what you gives them. It's bad for them. And they'll see, look, they needs to be themselves. They doesn't need to be shadows of you.
I'm all confused, Winston.
I'm doing them good, Nancy, and I'm doing you good too. I'm turning you into a real woman. I am giving you the chance to do what every woman on earth did ought to do for a man. I love you, Nancy.
Do you?
Oh, yes.
Really? Really?
Yes, really, really.
But why? Why? We have absolutely nothing in common. I'm not like your bits of fluff. I'm a mature woman. I'm older than you. I'm better educated than you. I was educated at private school on the South Coast. I know more than you.
Do you?
Yes.
What's the capital of Peru?
Pardon?
What is the capital city of Peru?
Ecuador.
No, that's a country and its capital is Quito. I'll try you again. What is the longest river in the geographical entity, what is known as the British Isles?
The Shannon.
Correct.
You see, I told you.
Who was the author of Darkness at Noon?
Pardon?
No, Arthur Kersler. He was the bogey what wrote Darkness at Noon.
I knew that.
No, you didn't.
I did. You didn't give me a chance to answer, you bastard. You... Winston. Winston. Winston.
Hold on a moment, Nancy. Just put my fag out.
I went round in a daze next day. The weather wasn't very nice. 14 degrees Celsius. That's about 58 degrees in real temperature. I went to see Father in his shed. Why? I don't know.
Ah, hello, Nancy. It's only me.
Hello, Father. Are you busy?
Oh, fervently, old boy. Making sure I've got enough stocks of quinine.
Ah, and have you?
No. I think I'll get Winston to nip round to Timothy White and Taylor's to get me a jar. I wonder if they still sell book tokens there.
What?
Well, I'll need to read books when I'm in India, Nancy. Oodles and oodles of books. My Rudyards, of course, and I think I might go in for Jane Austen, fearfully pleasant book she wrote, all about families. Isn't family life sheer hell?
I went to visit Rosie in her workroom. It was bare.
Hello, Nancy.
Hello, Rosie. All packed up, are we?
Yes.
When are you leaving?
At the end of the week.
Have you somewhere to stay?
Not yet.
Oh.
Nancy?
Yes.
Oh, never mind. It doesn't matter.
I went to visit William in his study. He was pounding away at his typewriter.
Oh, hello, Nancy. I'm just finishing off my monograph on the Manchester South Junction and Altrincham Railway before I go.
I see. Is it going well?
Oh, yes. I think I'm on the point of a major breakthrough.
Are you, William?
Absolutely. You see, Nancy, for years and years there's been this mystery surrounding the design of the bridge they used at Dane Road Station in Salemoor. Well, I've delved into the records and I've discovered that the bridge at Timperley and the underpass at Warwick Road were, in fact, designed by... Oh. She's gone. Nancy's gone.
I visited Winston in the kitchen. He was baking a Danish raspberry shortcake.
Hello, Nancy. What do you reckon?
Not a lot.
What's the capital of Chile?
Santiago.
Correct. Who wrote the book, The Go-Between?
L.P. Hartley.
Correct. What is the home ground of Oldham Athletic?
Boundary Park.
Correct. You see, Nancy, you got them all right and correct. You're learning, my dear. At long last, you are learning.
I went to my sewing room. I doodled with a bobbin. Somehow, I wasn't in the mood for bobbins. I watched a butterfly fluttering at the window pane, falling onto the sill and flapping its wings and getting tangled up in the curtains. But I wasn't in the mood for butterflies. And then suddenly it came to me in a flash. I knew what to do. Good God, it was staring me in the face. The answer to all our problems. It was so simple. I laughed out loud. I hugged myself. The cares slipped off me like water cascading off... Well, never mind that. I would tell them all at dinner. I waited patiently. There was no need to rush. Winston had cooked a superlative dinner. Salmon mousse, pot roast of lamb, spring vegetables and Danish raspberry shortcake. I listened contentedly to the chatter of the family.
I say, old boy, yum, yum, yum. This is the best piece of beef I've tasted in years.
It's lamb.
Oh, well, then all I can say is good on it. Well done.
Winston, how on earth do you get this lovely glaze on the joints?
The sauce, Rosie. Don't let it get too thick, look. And don't let the dog sniff at it with his nose.
Wonderful, Winston, wonderful. You must give me the recipe for when I go to London. Is it cooked, or did it come from a real packet?
They chattered on. And then I banged my fork against the side of my glass to get their attention. I've got an announcement to make.
Oh, splendid. Do I need to put my glasses on?
It's about us. Us? Yes. You know, all our problems. Rosie wants her independence. William wants to live with her in London and have adventures. Father wants to jig her off to India. Well, I know how to solve it to everyone's satisfaction. We do what we always do. We move house. We move lock, stock and barrel from here. We'll buy a house in London, and I'll be there to look after you. It'll be just like old times. You do what you want, and there'll always be me to put you right when you go wrong. We'll still be together, a united family. Well, what do you think? Rosie? William? Father? What do you think? Well, what do you reckon?
Nancy?
Yes, Rosie, yes.
Oh, never mind.
What do you mean, never mind? I've given you the chance to... I've given you the chance to... Well? Isn't anyone going to speak?
What's the capital of Venezuela, Nancy?
I don't know.
On which river would you find the city of Lancaster?
I don't know! I got up from the table. They didn't look at me. They hung their heads. I went into my sewing room. I was desolate. For the first time in my life, the family had ignored me. I looked at myself in the mirror. There was only one thing to say, wasn't there? Hello, Nancy. What do you reckon? Not a lot.
The city of Lancaster is on the loon, you bastard!